Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see you all. Let's pray. Lord, you're the one that we desire this morning. You alone. You're the only one we want, and you're the only one we want this morning to just draw us to yourself. Draw us so that all other things, all other idols would be exposed. All of the things that take us away from you would be shone upon. Lord, thank you. We are yours.
Yes.
It matters to you concerning us.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we just offer ourselves again to you this morning.
Yes.
Be with us. Speak to us again.
Right.
Even, Lord, challenge us
Yes.
in our walk with you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, we're in this wonderful book, Hosea. I like it. I don't know about you. I was telling the brothers, I like it better than Amos. But anyway, Ian shared the past 2 weeks, and the first three chapters of this book kind of give us the complete picture of the book. And you say, what's the rest of the book for? The rest of the book is for more details. So in these first three chapters, basically, we see this picture of God and his people, but God considers his people to be his wife, and he's the husband. Unfortunately, this wife is not a faithful wife. God's people are not faithful to him. They go after other things. Other things become idols. Yet, what's really striking about this book of Hosea is you see the heart of God not willing to give up. Not willing to let his unfaithful, idolatrous wife go. So he tries his best to draw her back, drawing back, continually trying to draw back. This is the picture of Hosea, the book of Hosea. God is a husband. His people are his wife. Yet this wife is unfaithful, wandering away to other things. But God does not give up. God does not file for divorce. God says, I want you back. In spite of your condition, in spite of your heart, in spite of your wandering, in spite of your unfaithfulness, I'm going to try my best to bring you back. This is the picture in chapters 1 to 3. Chapter 4 through the rest of the chapter, the book, 14, are just more details, more repetition of this cycle. Last week, Ian shared, as God's people, we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to wander, even to leave the God I love. Well, this week, we'd like to touch some verses in chapter 4. And I believe these verses give us the root of idolatry. Why did God's people fall into idolatry? And why is it that we wander away from God? Same thing. So let's look at chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you, it'll be the best, but it will have a few verses on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. The Lord's got a problem. A controversy. What is this controversy? Right here. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. I like to highlight this phrase, there is no knowledge of God in the land. No knowledge of God in the land. The people don't know the Lord. And as a result, there is no faithfulness and there's no steadfast love. But it hinges mainly on this matter of not knowing the Lord. And this phrase is repeated again and again in this book. Therefore, it's important. No knowledge of God in the land. And then if you read verse 2 says, because there's no knowledge, what? There is swearing, there's lying, there's murder, there's stealing, there's committing adultery. They break all bounds. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns and the whole who dwell in it languish. And also, listen to this, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and even the fish in the sea are all affected by man's not knowing God. Did you realize the whole universe, the whole earth is affected by ignorance concerning God? It affects everything. So, no knowledge of God. No knowledge of God affects us. If we don't know God, everything is affected. Our relationships with other people are affected. Of course, our relationship with God is affected. That goes without saying. But even our relationships with other people are affected. Why is there such a high divorce rate today? It's because people don't know God. You say, what has that got to do with marriage? It's got a lot to do with marriage. To know God means you also know yourself. Aha. You don't know God, you don't know yourself. If you don't know God, you think you're just fine. When you really know God, then you find out, oh, I've got some things I need to deal with. I got problems. Let's go on. I'm going to read some verses that we don't have on the board here, just because I want to get to them. This is chapter 4, verse 4, so you can follow along if you have it. Yet, let no one contend, let none accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. Verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isn't that a strong word? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. So this word, the Lord is speaking here through the prophet at this point, is speaking to the priests, the leaders. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? It's because the priests rejected knowledge. And then it says, and since you, the priest, have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. This is a strong word to the leaders of the children of Israel. The leaders neglected their duty to instruct the people of God concerning who God was. So God is condemning the priests because the priests have forsaken the law of God. In other words, God's law, God's word. For us, the Bible, they forsook the word. They forgot the law of God. Therefore, what are they going to teach the people? Nonsense. That's what they'll teach them. Not the law of God. Therefore, how can the people know God? This is especially sobering word to those of us who teach. James has a strong word. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. In other words, we bear the responsibility to know the Lord to a degree that we are able to bring other people into that knowledge of God. a sobering word to me. And the result is what? Here in Hosea, the result is the whole nation became unknowing of God, not knowing God, having no knowledge of God, having no knowledge of God's word. There's a verse 9 says, and it shall be like people, like priest. There's no distinction anymore. Like people, like priest. Everybody falls to the lowest common denominator. There's no, I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. Everyone is ignorant concerning God. In verse 11, same chapter, chapter 4, verse 11. I'll read verse 10 as well. They shall eat, but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not and not multiply. Because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. It's almost like this. You don't know the Lord, so you fall into spiritual adultery. And that spiritual adultery has the effect of what? Of taking away your understanding. It's like a vicious circle going down, a downward spiral. You don't know the Lord, so you end up committing spiritual adultery. Your spiritual adultery takes away more knowledge of God. So, keep going in this chapter. Verse 14. The end of verse 14 says, a people without understanding shall come to ruin. A people without understanding shall come to ruin. We don't know God. We just come to ruin. Then, there's another verse here. This is the saddest part and should be a warning to us. Chapter 8, verse 2. To me they cry, my God, we Israel, we know you. They're totally deceived. They don't know the Lord, yet they think they know the Lord. Isn't that the worst deception? When you think you know, yet you don't really know. So, my question this morning to you is this. How well do you know the Lord? How well do I know the Lord? Be honest. How well do you know the Lord? And then, that follows with a second question. Do you know the Lord as you ought to know the Lord? You say, I know the Lord to some extent, but do you know the Lord as you ought to know the Lord? And I think every one of us has to admit we fall short. We fall short. Well, I don't want to leave you there. So this book has a charge in chapter 6. You come to chapter 6, there's a wonderful charge in this book. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, come, let us return to the Lord. It's not hopeless. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Then verse 3, this is what I really like. Let us know. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. Let us press on to know the Lord. Press on. There's something more to know of the Lord. Let's press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. Let us press on to know the Lord. Why do we need to know the Lord? I know some of you have traveled probably more than me, And if you have decided to go visit a country, a new country, never been there before, even a different culture, don't you spend some time to try to read up on that country, right? You go to chapters over there. There's a whole section on travel. What's that section for? That's for books for places that you're planning to visit you've never been to before. So what do? You try to understand, to know about that country, right? If it's a different, totally different culture with a different language, the book even has little phrases that you can learn to memorize, right? Where's the bathroom? Good to know that question, right? In another language. As long as you know what you're saying when you say it. All these little phrases. I'm lost. Where's the police? What? You want to understand. You want to know. You need to know. Otherwise, you're plopped down somewhere in the middle of somewhere you've never been to before. You're confused. You're lost. You have no understanding, no direction, not knowing. I mean, you search. What's there to see, right? One time I was coming back from Africa. I had a 7-hour layover in Amsterdam. And I thought, well, I'm in Amsterdam. I should go see Amsterdam, right? So what did I do? I Googled Amsterdam, museums in Amsterdam. And I found out there was the earliest museum, found out which was open the earliest because I had to be back at the airport at a certain time. And I found out the Anne Frank Museum is the open earlier than all the other museums. So what I searched, I Googled, then what do? You get the address. You get a map. How do I get there from the train station? Right? You get some understanding of where you're going, what you're doing. So I get there really early in the morning. People in Amsterdam don't get up that early. And I thought, well, let me find where this place is, and I'll go get some breakfast. So I wandered the streets of Amsterdam, got to the museum, found a museum. Now let me go get some breakfast. That was hard to find. Because I didn't Google it, I guess. I didn't have understanding, so it was a little bit frustrating. Eventually, I found a breakfast, paid a ridiculous price, but anyway, went to the museum, did my thing. I had some understanding of downtown Amsterdam. To live in this world created by God, if you don't know the creator of this world, yet you live in this world without knowing him, you have a life that has no direction. You don't know where you're going. You don't know why you're here. What's the purpose of life? We need to know God. Believe it or not, we need to know God to have a proper life on this earth. Otherwise, we have no direction, no sense of direction, no understanding. So chapter 6, verse 1 says, let us return to the Lord. Verse 3, let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. Let us press on to know the Lord. And it's interesting, when Hosea writes this, he brings himself into the picture. It's not like, here's Hosea shouting at Israel. No, Israel brings himself as part of Israel, says, let us press on to know the Lord. This means what? This means not only individually do we need to press on to know the Lord, together we need to press on to know the Lord. May this be our prayer, that we all, both individually and together, let us press on to know the Lord. Then verse 6 of the same chapter. To me, this is a striking verse. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. I desire the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. What does this mean? Steadfast love is something inside. It's not an outward thing like a sacrifice. The knowledge of God is something inward. It's not just a burnt offering, something physical to do. You know, in this respect, I like the younger generation. Why? Generally speaking, of course, everything's a generalization, but generally speaking, the young generation doesn't want to just do something for the sake of, oh, that's because we've always done it. That's my habit. I want to know why I do this. What's the purpose of doing this? You know, forgive me, I'm older, so I'll just include myself with the older. When we're older, there can be the tendency to, this is our habit. I do this. I come here every week. I've done this for 40 years, or 50 or 60. But do I do the thing, or am I seeking to know the Lord today? Yes, I got something from the Lord last week, but last week is now 7 days past. I'm here today. Am I seeking to know the Lord right this minute, now, today, for the present? Not just doing a thing. Of course, we can all get caught up with an outward thing, regardless of what our age is. We can attach ourselves to the outward thing, yet still miss knowing the Lord. So, how do we get to know the Lord? How do we get to know the Lord? Well, if you're young, you must say, let me Google that. Know the Lord. Sorry, I jumped ahead and did it for you. The page comes up. If you Google knowing God, you'll get a book. Okay? It's a book by J.I. Packer, which is not bad, okay? But knowing the Lord. I don't know if you got the same thing as I got. This is what I got. Not the first ad. I don't like the ads, you know. What does the Bible say about knowing God? How about that? That's the first thing that comes up under the ad. What does the Bible say about knowing God? Well, the first ad is not bad either, is it? It says, a relationship with God. God wants you to know him. All right. Not bad. Okay, so what does the Bible say about knowing God? Let's click on that. Come on, let's go. Knowing God. Oh, it takes you to a website. And this website, listen to this, is openbible.info. Not bad. But you know what? If you just forget about the .info and open Bible. Not bad. So it comes up. Sorry, now I've got problems. It's too small. 68 Bible verses about knowing God. Not bad. This is how the young people go to the Bible. So anyway, I looked at this a little earlier. I should have, right? Preparing. So I started going through the verses. And they're not bad. First one is Philippians, right? Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. First verse. To know the Lord. To know the power of his resurrection to know and share in his sufferings. How do we know the Lord? OpenBible.info. I like that. That tremendous, great name of a website. It's called Open Bible. If you want to open this Bible, open this Bible. Just open the Bible. Know his word. Knowing God's word is the best way for us to know God. Okay, let me ask you this. I won't call any names. That's not so good. Say you're wanting to get to know somebody. You're dating and you want to get to know somebody. What do you do? You Google? Knowing Alice. You may get the wrong Alice. That doesn't help. Or you could, instead, you could, make it here, Facebook. Let me go to Facebook and type in let me see what's on their Facebook. Think I'll get to know the person that way. Probably not. Those of you who have been married in the last 5 years, is that the way you got to know your spouse? Google? I'm going to Google my wife. How do you get to know a person? Well, you do have to spend time together. Facebook just doesn't quite cut it. But it's not just a matter of spending time with the person. You got to talk, right? Communicate. You have to communicate to find out, what is this person like? What does this person not like? Right? You find out, okay, you ask the question, does your partner, spouse, friend, do they like art? So you ask, would you like to go to the Ontario Art Gallery? And the other person says, no, I hate art. Well, that's pretty clear. Okay, so they don't say that. Instead, they're really nice because they don't want to offend you. So they're, sure, let's go to the art gallery. When you get to the art gallery, you find out there's all different kinds of art, right? There's Picasso. Do you like Picasso? Just for fun, who likes Picasso? Here. Okay. Good. Huh? It's okay. Everybody has their preference in art. You know, my problem with Picasso is it looks like the guy's eyes are... But there's probably something behind that. It's just, you know, I don't have that kind of a brain that can see behind those things. I'm just kind of my wife says, I'm the realist. So, abstract art. Anyway, you get to know by communication. You get to know what the person likes. You get to know what the person dislikes. How do we know what God likes? How do we know what God desires? How do we know what God dislikes? He communicated to us. God communicated to us his word. But if we never open it, how do we know what God likes? How do we know ourselves? You know, I was a little bit disappointed in that website because this week I've been in a verse a few times. And let me just read it to you because it relates to this message. This is in 1 John chapter 2. It says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So you realize what the Bible tells us what? You want to know the Lord? Okay, to really know the Lord is, according to this verse, to do his commandments. Oh, you mean there's something called obedience? If I want to know God, there's a matter of obedience to God? How did you know that? His word. He told us in his word. To know the Lord is to spend time hearing from him in his word. It's not that mysterious. It's not that weird. You can say, God told me. What did God tell you? This is what God told me. He said, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's what God told me. It's not that mysterious. God told me something from the Bible. That's how we get to know the Lord. Knowing him. Then, knowing his heart. By the way, let me just make this as a suggestion this week. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be really helpful to linger for a number of days in the same set of verses instead of just flying through the Bible. How about we take this week, Hosea chapter 6, 1 to 6, or 1 to 3 and verse 6. Just every day, spend a bit of time in these verses. If you want to, write it down on a little piece of paper or make it as a note on your iPhone. Whatever works for you. Spend some time, day after day, in the same verses. Let these verses be lodged into you so that a verse like chapter 6, verse 3, the beginning. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. That verse that will be with you day after day after day this coming week. You think about this. If that verse comes to you five times every day, I tell you, you will be a different person. You'll be different. Because there'll be a longing within you. Lord, I want to know you in every detail of my life. I want to know you, not just in your word. I want this word to be practical to me in my daily life, in my circumstances, on my job, in my family life, with my parents, with my spouse, with my colleagues, with the brothers and sisters in the church. Lord, I want to know you in all circumstances. Question, do you know that the Lord loves you? How do you know that? This I know because the Bible tells me so. Read the end of chapter 8 of Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says it. That's why I know. Do you know what makes the Lord unhappy? Oh, yeah, the Lord doesn't mean the Lord is happy about everything you do or I do. No, sometimes the Lord is grieved by what we do. Therefore, what we learn, we have to learn how to confess. You know, it's interesting. This book has this background picture of the relationship between a husband and wife. The improper relationship. But at the same time, you realize there's this call. Let us press on to know the Lord. In a marriage relationship, we are constantly learning to know our spouse. To get to know our spouse. You think that after 5 years of marriage, you've known everything there is to know about your spouse? There isn't. Why? I'll tell you why. Because at a certain point in life, you will cross a bridge you've never had to cross before. Neither you nor your spouse. You don't know how you're going to react. You don't know how your spouse is going to react. Why? Because you've never been there before. It's a whole nother learning to know your spouse in a new situation, in a new circumstance. I think this is not at all uncommon. Couple gets married. Some years later, they have a child. Once that child comes, they are shocked at each other's response to raising the child. You thought you knew your spouse until the child came along. Then you find out, whew, I don't know her and I don't know me. I didn't know I'd react this way. I didn't know she'd react that way. You're learning. It shows us that in our relationship with the Lord, it's not, I spent 5 years to know the Lord. Now I know the Lord. No. It's a whole lifelong process of knowing the Lord. And one of the main ways for spouses to learn to know one another, listen. Listen, and listen, and listen again to understand. Listen to understand. In the married life, it's not just a matter of, communication is talking and listening. That's communication. The wife can't say, my husband, I told him, if I told him once, I've told him 100 times. You say, that's communication. Why is it 100 times? Because he didn't listen to understand. Did he hear? Well, we're not even sure of that. But husbands, listen to understand. Don't listen to hear. Listen to understand. Of course, it goes the other way too, but it seems we husbands have a harder time with this. There's a picture at the end of chapter 2. Sorry, near the end of chapter 2. I'll just look at this quickly. Chapter 2, starting in verse 16. In that day, declares the Lord, this is a positive picture of the husband-wife relationship of God's people. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. Verse 17, I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth. Verse 18, I will make them for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the creeping kings of the ground. I will abolish the bow, the sword, the war from the land. I will make you lie down in safety. Verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Isn't that good? This is a marvelous picture. The proper, healthy picture of the relationship we have with our God. We shall know the Lord. To know the Lord. Listen to this carefully. To know the Lord is to know how to live. You want to know how to live this life? Know the Lord. To know the Lord is to know how to live. And to know the Lord is to know His Word and to know the gospel. John Piper has this statement, the gospel teaches us how to live, but it also rescues us when we fail to live the way we are supposed to. The gospel teaches us how to live, but the gospel also rescues us when we fail to live as we're supposed to. Let us be a generation, whatever generation we are, let us be a generation that seeks the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, amen. We tell you this morning that we admit we don't know you as we ought to know you. But Lord, we also tell you we want to know you. Lord, show us who you are from your word. May your word speak to us day by day that we may know you and that we may know how to live. That we may know what pleases you and what displeases you. That we may know what is your desire. That we may know what it is that takes us away from you. That we may know what it brings us back to you. Lord, plant this desire within each one of us this week. That this word would be with us. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.